probably know this, for emphasizing shunyata or emptiness or non-dualism, insisting that the highest truths cannot be expressed by formulations or words or teachings, rather that the truth is based on an undifferentiated whole. But the minute that we apply terms or concepts or theories to it, we create these dualisms and opposites. So Lin Chi was particularly concerned that students be able to discern this guest and host, and to discern a true teacher from a false one, to be able to break through and attain that kind of being able to hit the teacher and understand and break through that, and to be able to understand the changing roles of Zen practice and in life. And he said, and I quote, "Students these days haven't the slightest comprehension of the Dharma. They're like sheep poking with their noses. Whatever they happen on, or they immediately put in their mouths. They can't tell a gentleman from a lackey or tell a guest from a host." So this was important to him. And in some ways, when I think about this, it's like, well, that's a dualism. He's like creating this teaching technique, this analysis of the situation, and using guest and host, subject, object, to discriminate. So why was that? So this admonition to be able to understand the true guest and host reflected his focus, Lin Chi's focus on understanding roles and also transcending them. Lin Chi says, "True followers of the way are never concerned with the way of the Buddha. So by understanding the different roles and acknowledging them, we're able to transcend them." So guests are students and willing to be taught, hopefully. If one doesn't understand the role of a student, then it's very hard to learn. Similarly, hosts have an important role to teach, to be clear, to be gracious, and yes, sometimes to shout, break through. So leadership is an important quality, and hosts embody it. Lin Chi said, "Whenever you play the role of host, then any place can be the true one." So attain host, very important point. True men of no rank, true persons, always correct me. So I like to use, and as we work through this, another framework to understand roles and relationships in Zen and in life. And I have another PowerPoint that I have to get to. And this is the kind of the nature of our roles and situation. This kind of follows substance, truth, and function. But I use, and this is something Zen Master Sung San used to talk about, is what is the correct situation? What is happening just now? What is like the energy in the situation at this moment? What's the correct relationship? What is the nature of the relationship? Is it student-teacher, subject-object, employee-boss, high-low, near-far? Those kind of different relationships embody how we often connect with one another, and what is not only just sort of a proper role, but what is the situation that's occurring right now. So, you know, I kind of think, as I've been meditating and working with the coronavirus, I feel like I'm the subject and I have this object, which is this situation that we have in our lives that is out there and we have no idea. So if you kind of like start putting all this fear onto that object, then you're creating, you're understanding what your relationship is. So maybe then correct action is possible. Or if you take away that object, then you break through kind of holding on to it or being attached to it. Similarly, I often look at relationships where there's power relationships, when somebody's in a stronger position and maybe more aggressive, and one is maybe not in such a strong position. How does that kind of then relate to guest and host? And then obviously, ultimately, for us in our practice, what is the correct function? What is necessary in this situation? What wisdom and compassion can be is needed in this relationship? So we'll have a chance to talk a little bit further about this, but there's an important Kungan in our tradition that's in our Golden Wind Zen Kungan book. And I wanted just to read it for you so you can just kind of, not so much we're going to do any answers of this tonight at all, but I think it's a really useful Kungan because it's Lin Chi's cats. So one day during winter retreat, the monks were doing walking meditation practice around the temple grounds. Lin Chi and the head monk were observing from the porch of Lin Chi's quarters. Two monks, with their heads looking down, were walking straight towards each other. They both suddenly saw each other and simultaneously shouted, "Cats!" The head monk then asked the master, "Are there guest and host?" And what did Lin Chi reply? He said, "Guest and host are obvious." So we're not going to go further into that, but it's a really interesting for me. Oh, so this relationship is obvious. What is that relationship? What is the situation? What is our correct function in various situations that we come up with in life? So while guest and host might maybe seem like an anachronism of the time, the importance of this changing position relative to the process of liberation, I think, is really helpful to acknowledge. So for this changing situation, we will turn to the Zen circle, which I will now share again with you. You probably all have it completely memorized, I would think. Let me see. There. Bueno. So what we're going to do is to break out into three rooms. And so those of us who've been studying this from all kinds of angles within Kyolche kind of remember, as we go around this, we see the karma eye up to 90% in the relative world, then thinking eye, then nothing eye, moving around the absolute world and back to this big eye at 360. Same as small eye at zero, the truth world, and then this bodhisattva eye. And what's always been important to me about the Zen circle is that one's mind can be at any point on the circle at any one time. It's always changing. It's not a linear process, and it has a lot of robust work that we do when we see this whole big truth and moment world. So similarly, guest and host then appear on different points around the circle. So our question in this investigation, Santanim, Pope Sanim, and I will be hosting three rooms. If our host, I'm going to turn back to our host, Jim, can pull this off, we're going to spend some time with these questions, which are on your screen. How do guest and host appear at different points in the circle? So at karma eye, how does guest and host appear at thinking eye, nothing eye, somewhat freedom eye, big eye, and bodhisattva world? And then we'll come back after about 10 or 15 minutes and we'll share some more about the Zen circle and then have some feedback. So I'm gonna stop sharing.
Okay, I will do my best to pull this off. So three rooms, there will be a notice when we're wrapping up that there's about a minute left, and then you'll be returning to the main room. So
and so Jim is selecting us to go to these different rooms. So you'll see an invitation to join the breakout room. So you just click on that and then you'll disappear and reappear.
Okay.
So just remember, where do guest and host appear at different points on the circle? And then what are some kind of examples in our lives that reflect guest and host relationship?
Oh, wait a second. That's right. I need to. Okay.
I got my invite.
Right. So we're back.
Yeah, once Tom is back, he can. Oh, there he is. Let's see. You're muted still.
There, unmuted.
Great.
So before I show the next slide, I just love any thoughts, how that went in your groups. I think for our group, we were able to kind of move around the circle, and I think the analogy of being in a party and who is guest and who is host. And as Rosalind said, she had her mother who, when she goes to visit South Africa, her mother is the host there, but her mother came to visit her in wherever you are, and she was the host. So it's interesting to see thoughts from any of you who participated in this. I think you have to unmute yourself, right, Jim?
I'll just pipe in shortly, but other people in our group can pipe in. We actually spent most of our time just trying to get clear about, drill down into what really is a host and a guest. And it was a good exploration. And we got all the way to the first quadrant of the Zen circle, where we talked about people who are really attached to karma. And certainly the example that really I think everybody liked was, it's when adult children go back home for the holidays and they end up fighting over pickles.
I'm wondering if maybe someone from our group could give a summary. Or maybe I should. Well, I'll just say that similarly, we didn't get particularly far. At the time just sped by. And we also were really interested in what exactly host and guest were. And John brought up a wonderful example of President Trump in conflict with a journalist. And while he has the official title of what would be thought of as a host, maybe the journalist was really the host in this situation. So we talked about what that meant.
Well, we actually went, I'm gonna show kind of the full circle for people, and then we can have some more conversation. So I'm gonna screen share it, and because our group actually did go all the way around and didn't get stuck in guest and host. We have a very bright group. So this was the Zen circle, and this, thank you to Pope Sanim. Can you see it all? Because I've got a stripe of you that are cut off some of it.
I look good.
You can see it all?
You can minimize the stripe. Hit the minus button on the stripe.
On the stripe, yes.
Thank you, John. So these are, I guess, the correct answers. And Pope Sanim, you can jump in. And like 0 to 90 is where guest meets guest, where all this kind of karma comes up. You know, it's the squabbling at the party and really don't get anywhere. As Lisa said, there's no clarity in what's going on and the like. Moving from 90 to 180 is where guest meets host. And this could be where, you know, student meets teacher. You start thinking about what is it you're going to say? What's the situation? As Pope Sanim said, we shake off our drowsiness enough to look for someone who has some clarity. And at the top of the circle, no guest, no host, kind of this freedom eye. And also, certainly in tribute to Lin Chi, is cats become one like this. And then moving back down to all the way around to 360. Although we played a little bit with, at 270, we talked a little bit about this freedom eye. Big party with a rainbow in it or something like that. And then at Truth World, host meets host. So when, you know, Lin Chi talked about if you become host, then you have true nature everywhere. So in this moment, truth. And then in moment world, you're back to host meets guest, which is how can I help all those in my party to attain this moment world and great bodhisattva eye. So for me, the practical principle of this is to kind of develop the fluidity of recognizing our different situations and our different roles. And once you kind of understand those roles and relationships and situations, you have the opportunity to break through them with true wisdom and compassion. So I just want to open it up for questions, and maybe if Santanim or Pope Sanim, if you have any thoughts or anyone else, this was the end of my presentation.
I have a kind of a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm getting kind of caught up in the host being kind of what we're striving for, being a host, and I kind of to me, I'm kind of translating, and correct me if this isn't right, but I'm kind of liking kind of translating host into someone that helps others, and then a guest into someone that needs help. But I'm getting caught up in that we're kind of wanting to be hosts, and that's what we're learning to be, or we want to learn to be, which is, I think, true. But is there, can, I don't know, is it, it's, I feel like it's also, it's good to ask for help, you know, that, and let other people help you when you're struggling. So is there an appropriate, or it, can you be a guest and be, you know, at the bottom of the Zen circle?
May I respond?
Please.
I'm so grateful to you for asking that question, for bringing that up. Tom talked about a person of no rank whatsoever, that really strikes a chord with me in regards to what you're talking about, Catherine, because while we have the direction of becoming clear and helping others, the ultimate direction is to have no attainment, to have no rank. And in fact, if you look at it, maybe this is throwing a wrench into the whole business, but to be a host perhaps is ultimately to be a guest and bring it right around to that. Okay. In other words, always to be a beginner. Always to be ready to learn. Just my thoughts.
I have a feeling that my care worker and I are sort of hosts to each other and guests to each other. We have a really great relationship. And when she comes, she does care for me, and that's her job. But she's also a person who has come into my house, and I want for her to be comfortable and to feel like, you know, she has a reasonable work environment, which is something that, you know, that as a client, I actually have a responsibility to provide. And, you know, we sometimes talk, and I listen if she has any trouble going on in her life. And, you know, and we just simply have good communication, which is really important. And it's pretty obvious we both care about each other.
I'd like to follow up on something that Catherine said too that I thought was really important. I think if I remember it right, one of the things you were saying is, I'm going to paraphrase this and get it wrong, but is it okay to ask for help? In other words, to be a guest. And think about people who cannot admit that they need help and always have to be the person who knows the answer to the everything, the omniscient, perfect person. In Lin Chi's world, that person who sees them is stuck in the outward idea of being a host, of having to be the master of the universe, is in fact the guest. So this gets back a little bit to Sansanim's question. This is really, the word host and guest is really about whether you are in a position to be clear and helpful to other people. And that's our path. But our path also is to not be deluded by our ego about having to know everything or be right. It's a deep, deep question. And I also am really glad you brought it up.
It seems to me it's a little bit like striving for enlightenment. You know, the more you have that as your goal, that the farther away you get from it.
I just wanted to say, you know, I think that it can be really hard to be helpful to somebody if you've never yourself needed help, you know, to recognize when somebody's in, especially in like emotion, I mean, I say especially in emotional situations where somebody needs reassurance or shoring up, you know, if you've never allowed yourself to feel that kind of vulnerability, I think it'd be hard to to be a certain, to empathize with somebody who's experiencing that themselves. So
the idea of being able to ask for help or get help from others, that made me think of end of life situations or in aging, as you know, you lose the capability to take care of yourself. And then of course right now with the pandemic, you know, people being thrust into that situation very quickly, hopefully they, you know, are able to receive the help from the healthcare people. And wow, it's a tough situation.
Yeah, and I guess I would, just following up on that, John, I've been thinking about how much the pandemic or the current situation has illustrated how vulnerable, certainly I feel, even in my own life, and the conversations are now very different with people in my circle than they were a month ago. People who, in my experience of them, have never really talked honestly about their feeling or have ever asked for help are suddenly in the position where they have to do that. And then people who aren't used to providing help or accustomed to that are being called upon to take that on as well. So we've got this like huge, you know, whatever self-image we had about ourselves is being challenged by the circumstances we're in right now. And people's language is changing, and how do we relate to that? So it's, I'm glad I'm having this conversation, because we're having this conversation tonight about guest and host, because I'm certainly grappling with those kinds of questions, and everybody is. So, well, thank you.
One thing that that this reminded me of was I never met Zen Master Sung San, but he creating this international practice, and his life is just so amazing. And you know, he was a host to this blossoming and flowering of an international Zen community. And then I remember, you know, hearing about, you know, as he got older, you know, and some of the medical difficulties that he experienced, and how, you know, he, my understanding is, resigned and retired to Korea, and then essentially kind of was a guest and was cared for and taken care of, you know, sort of by this system he helped create and continue.
I was thinking that it's in Tom's sort of opening, though, it's not necessarily a linear projection, or even in a time of pandemic. I think it is for we have those opportunities to change roles all the time. I mean, and we, as Tonsanim was saying, we're always at different places on the Zen circle, and probably in different roles.
I think the illustrations or the analogies that are being brought out tonight are helping me to see that much more. But I'm also seeing where it's very fluid from minute to minute, second to second. We could be guest or host, teacher or student or whatever. But that also, I was thinking it's the ability to have that openness and awareness that allows us to also really live into those opportunities.
Well, maybe we've had, anyone else have anything else you would love to share?
I have maybe something, kind of another question. So on your diagram, Tom, it said, so in the karmic, the karma I part, mm-hmm. you put guest and guest. It seems to me like maybe, and I don't know, but could there ever be, like, could you ever use your karma to help? I mean, I think people, you can use your karma to help others kind of unintentionally. Or is, like I'm thinking of maybe someone, actually, I'm kind of thinking in my current job, I have to call a lot of people and I'm kind of scared because I don't really, I think it's just kind of the way I am, but I don't want people to, like, I feel like I'm bothering people. And, but I find that actually often if I get somebody on the phone, it's, usually they respond pretty well. And I think that maybe like my kind of being afraid of people or like not wanting to get yelled at or something actually, is kind of a, like, I don't know, for some reason, it doesn't happen all the time, but some people start like opening up to me or like kind of talking about kind of their problems or doesn't happen.
Well, I think,
but, so maybe it's part something about my karma that I'm unintentionally, you know, helping people. Sorry.
Yeah, I think there was some kind of, myself, but. That there was some kind of inference that just because guests and it's karma, that's a negative situation and it doesn't necessarily absolutely have to be. And I think, as I was talking about understanding the situation, if somebody, oh, I had that same problem, I had that same situation, there's that recognition of whether it's karma or, yeah, we both share that in common. And if somebody opens up to you in that way, it's a beautiful thing. So I think it's not like we're struggling in the darkness of swimming in the swamp of our karma, but that we're sharing that karma together in a way that helps elucidate it, bring it forward.
Okay.
If I can add something to, it's important to remember on the Zen circle, especially in that relative side, we're really talking about in that first quadrant being attached to your own karma. So the example you gave of if you feel that your karma is kind of says, I don't feel comfortable making that phone call, but you do make a phone call. That's having karma, but not being completely attached to it. And I would also, just as a point of illustration, at 360 degrees, there's still karma. Moment world, there's still karma. So the distinction is that in karma I, it's talking about being stuck with your karma. Karma's not a bad thing, a good thing, or an indifferent thing, necessarily. It just is.
I have a question. We're mostly talking about it as that we occupy one of these roles in relationships with other people a lot, but I'm kind of get the idea that you experience both those roles within yourself at the same time too, that you kind of have this more watching host eye that sort of that you see yourself going along as a guest and bumping into other guests, but sort of being able to see that happening and having both those roles at the same time.
Well said. Not so much a question. answered it.
Well, it was kind of a question. I mean, is that how it's intended, or is it, or do we? It is it more that we're just one or the other and alternate?
Oh, wow, that's the Sansanine, please take that one. I'd love you to take it.
I feel like I want to jump on it because that's kind of what I was talking about before, and you know, it just strikes me. Jim, that is the true nature of our being, that these lists or these categories, the entire Zen circle, they give us a sense of the qualities of how we are, the ways that we appear. But just as we always say, we could be anywhere in the Zen circle, I think your point is well taken, that we could also be everywhere. At the same time, in some ways, and what is a host if not a really good guest? And what is a guest if one is just primed and ready to learn? What an exquisite host position that also is. Anyway, I'm grateful that you brought that up. I think there's a lot to it.
Yeah, interpenetration. You know, I'm so glad. It seems I can trap myself in the dichotomies, and our teaching is, you know, I'm guest now. Oh, I'm host now. Oh, I'm sometimes guest, sometimes host.
One last thing. I just finished reading a memoir, and the title of the memoir was I Am, I Am, I Am. So if you just take away the I then, and just am.
Okay, well, if that was the one last thing, maybe we ought to wrap it up.